Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's hurry up and get into this. Praise God. And those of you that have been watching us Monday and Tuesday, you know where we are. And those of you that haven't, you catch up and get this later. It's very, 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 very important. And we've got Professor Greg Stevens, instructor of Old Testament studies in Kenneth Copeland Bible College. And his knowledge of the Hebrew language and so forth is just absolutely wonderful to have a man that understands these things and reads the Hebrew language. And it's, well, I don't want to take up any more time. We're talking about that supper. Mm. People call it the Last Supper. And I want to read this now from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new testament, the new covenant in my blood. This you do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. He didn't say when you had to do it. He said as often as you do it.
Do it every day if you want.
Do it every day. I'm not where I can every day, but I take it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'll have different purposes and reasons and judging myself and taking covenant for someone I love and these things. And you learn so much when you, and particularly, and I learned yesterday from you that I was supposed to do this, but I just did it just because I was so hungry for it. And just picture myself right there, particularly where it's recorded by the Apostle John. And just picture myself there in that room, and I'm with Jesus, and I'm hearing him say these things. Mm-hmm. Greg, he said this to me when he asked me to take Genesis 6:3. Mm-hmm. He asked me if I would do it, if I would live 120 years. And I heard it so plainly. He said, Kenneth, I sacrificed my body for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is Romans 12.
Yes, sir.
I sacrificed my body for you. And he was thanking me for it. Now you're sacrificing your body for mine. Mm-hmm. Mm. 'Cause this meant, man, I had to go in that exercise room. I had to go to work and push this old 83-year-old body around. And I was on the treadmill this morning before I came to do this. Mm-hmm. And let me get out of the way. Now, we talked about yesterday, where am I? We talked about yesterday, Greg got us into this covenant meal. So just pick it up right there, Greg.
So I know that before you right in and say, you didn't cover everything. I know that. We're kind of talking first century Passover and the first one, not everything. And so just so that you know, I have a Passover Seder plate with the modern, this is my personal, with the modern, you would have an egg in here. There's no egg in Jesus' time. That's to symbolize things. So they do things now to symbolize things. So I know we're not covering every single aspect of this. I'm covering the aspects so that you can make the connection to your covenant that he made with you. So as often as you drink this and often as you do this, we just read that from Corinthians. And I was reading this after the manner he took the cup and the cup of redemption, this was the cup after supper. There's a full meal that happens that a lot of times you don't realize. They still have meals today. It might be fish.
I had forgotten about chicken. Those three cups. I'm so glad you brought that out.
Today they celebrate four.
Because I had forgotten all about that. And that is so huge.
Yeah.
He picked up a cup he wasn't supposed to pick up.
Well, they picked it up every year, and he picked it up, though, to show them, to give them a new thing, because he's transitioning to this new
covenant. And he goes back to that.
And identifies himself to it.
Yes.
And so now this is what we do, sir, when we do, and you can see it right here in 1 Corinthians, we do the same thing. We're identifying ourselves with him. And I love this one phrase, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. Till he comes.
Till he comes.
Now, what happens after he comes? We have a marriage supper of the Lamb. Guess what I think we might be doing?
Well, no kidding.
Right here.
Because he said, then I'm going to do it again.
Again.
He said I'm going to do
said,
it. He
said, I won't do this again until
you're there.
Glory to God.
So your next thing. So
that's going to be the biggest one that's ever.
So Brother Copeland.
That may take the whole 7 years to get that one
will.
Done. I don't know.
Brother Copeland, he's going to come up. The Savior of all mankind, King of kings and Lord of lords, sir, is going to come up to you and serve you the bread.
Oh, Jesus.
And the cup.
Yeah.
That's what, we look back to the cross and thank God for what he did, but my God, I'm looking forward to the day that I'm not worthy to do it, but he's going to stand in front of me with a piece of bread and the cup. Yes, sir.
You've known me as Savior.
Yes.
You've known me as your healer. You've known me as your baptizer. You've known me as your prosperity agent. You're a Melchizedek. Ha ha. But you're soon going to know me as the great resurrection.
And the life. Yes, sir. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If that doesn't get you up off your chair.
Yes, oh, glory to God.
Now look at Hebrews 11 with that same thing. All of these died not obtaining the promise.
Yes. That's right.
Glory. It was all a type and shadow. Now, we're walking in the redemptive side of this thing, but we've got something in our future that's glorious.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, it's glorious. Sir.
Yes, it is.
I look forward to the day. But until that day, we're going to keep preaching and teaching.
Oh, yes, sir.
Keep laying hands on the sick.
Yes, sir.
Proclaiming
man.
Him yes, till he returns.
Hallelujah.
Because I mentioned to you that aphicomen, the one that's broken, Isaac, buried, that literally means the coming one. So I'm looking for the coming one. That's where my eyes are fixed right now. I'm not a citizen of this place. I am in my flesh. But see, now this goes to my righteousness. This whole dinner goes to my righteousness of how I walk now. I'm of this world, but I'm not in it. Positionally, I'm seated with him right
That's
now.
That's right.
In my spirit.
In heavenly place.
See, everything changes, and I'll show you that. If I can, this ties, they all connect. This ties to the very first miracle in Cana of Galilee.
Mm.
And it ties to Passover. Can I show you that one
yes,
real quick?
Please.
Okay, Luke chapter 2 was the very first Passover that we have recorded of Jesus. Beginning in verse 41, I'll read this to you. His parents went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of Passover.
Yes, that's right.
Well, there it is. And he was 12 years old. He went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When he had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days. there we go again.
Yes,
here we
sir.
Go. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to him. Matter of fact, that's about how long he will be prior to his crucifixion, prior to that Passover. He'll be there three days. With those same teachers of the law as an adult, listening to them, asking them questions. They were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Now listen to what Mary says to him. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." She's a little worked up. He said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" They did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Now, this is a key phrase, and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in favor with God and with men. So now, how did they not know that he wasn't with them? Well, by this time, he's probably got two brothers at least. Maybe they're 5, 6, 7, 8 sure. that they're taking care of. We know he has two brothers. Mm-hmm. And so he got kind of, he just stayed back, and his brothers, they're having to deal with them. What happens next is very interesting, is in John chapter 2. It's the first miracle. He's been baptized by John. He's conquered Satan in the wilderness by the word. It is written. And what was one of the things that was offered to him? Bread.
Yeah, bread.
All right. John chapter 2, let me show you this. On the third day, there we go again. On the third day, there's a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Now, most weddings in Israel happen on Tuesday. And the reason for that is that's the third day of creation. It's a double blessing on Tuesday. The Lord saw it was good, and the Lord saw it was good. So most Orthodox Jewish weddings happen on Tuesdays because there's a double blessing. And so they just decide, well, let's get married on the day that has a double blessing. All right, so the mother of Jesus was there, both Jesus and his disciples. There's four of them at this point, Andrew, Peter, Philip, and Nathaniel. Okay, and they're at a wedding. Verse 3, when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Now, what do we do here? Jesus is the redemptive cup of wine, right? I'll show you something here. He said, "Woman," this is a key phrase, "what does your concern have to do with me?" He says this, "My hour has not come." Now, in that last chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, after Judas has left the room, you're going to see Jesus say, "Father, my hour has come." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's even pointing at this, at the start of his ministry, to what the end of his ministry is all about. Wow. The hour will come. Mm-hmm. Okay, look at this. Now there were set 6 water pots of stone, that's key phrase, according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 to 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up. And of course, you know what happened. The water turned into wine, and the master of the feast was thrilled by what had happened. So it says in the scripture, this was the beginning of the signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. Now, that's the first miracle. Here's something that's very interesting. They find things all the time in Israel, and I always watch what they're finding and discovering because it's revealing the word. In 2016, about 4 miles from Nazareth and Cana, they found a stone quarry. And in that stone quarry was a cave. You can look this up, Biblical Archaeology Review. And they found vessels, but they're not vessels made out of clay or out of glass. They're vessels that have been hewn out of stone. Pure stone vessels. And they held about 20 gallons of water.
Come on.
And it was right there in Cana, right outside of Cana. 2016, they found these. Now, here's the thing. Stone vessels are purification vessels. There's no impurities in it, like in clay or in glass. There's no impurities. So this is the vessels you would use for purification for priestly. So what Jesus did here, now there were set 6 water pots of stone. Well, they came from about 4 miles from there, and they're used as priestly purification. He's already operating as the high priest. Pray. This is all symbolism to us, but they saw it. They got this thing. Now, that takes me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, and some for dishonor." So he uses vessels of honor in his first miracle. Now, let me jump you way ahead to when he tells the disciples to go into Jerusalem to find a place for us to have what we know as this Last Supper, this Passover meal. He says to them, you'll walk into town. Now, this is unusual that a man is carrying a water pot. Why would a man be carrying a water pot? It doesn't make sense that a man would carry a water pot. That's woman's work. We know that from John chapter 4, woman at the well. Purification. Mount Zion, we know archaeologically, is where most of the priests lived of the temple. It was a high-class neighborhood, Brother Copeland,
praise
where
God.
They lived. Running water. I'm telling you, if you can go to the archaeology ruins of where those priests lived around Mount Zion up there. And man, I'm telling you, mosaic tile bathrooms and steam rooms, they believed in prosperity.
Praise
I'm telling God. You what. No, I'm serious. It was totally different than anywhere else. So he sees a man carrying water. That's a priest carrying a stone water pitcher. And he said, when you find him, he'll tell you where to go.
Listen
or this thing. Isn't that something?
That is something.
So these pure vessels were filled with pure water. Now, let's talk about that for a second. Water, what does that represent? It represents our spirit. From out of your belly shall flow
rivers
of living water. So that represents my human spirit. Okay? And what happened? It turned to wine. Wine, this is my blood. The wine represents the blood. So even in this first miracle, he's talking about your spirit's going to be transformed and changed by the blood. He's talking about his purpose and his mission. So he's going to fill my spirit up with his presence, and it's going to transform. Now, when they ran that spear into his side, what came out?
Water and blood.
It's all pointing to one person and one sacrifice and one thing. So even in the beginning of his work, it's talking about what's going to happen at the end of his ministry.
Praise God.
Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
So that's exactly what the sons, his sons will do. It's exactly what happens that night. It's exactly what the priest did. If you look at this, go to John chapter 2, let me show you. Now, the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found, this is exactly after this Cana of Galilee deal, on down in that chapter,
now, where are
verse
you?
13 mm-hmm. of John chapter 2. This is after he talks about Cana of Galilee. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he'd made a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. What is he doing? He's purifying, he's removing the leaven.
From the temple.
From the temple. After the water for purification thing in Cana, he comes, this is another, his second Passover. His first one was when he was 12. Here's the second one we have a recording of. And what did he do? He purified the temple. Water for purification, and he's literally doing this. He's removing the leaven. This is my Father's house. We're not having that in this house. Now, he's going to do that same thing that last Passover mm-hmm. as well. And so he reveals the need for cleansing. Verse 18 says, so the Jews answered and said unto him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up. Then the Jews said, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in three? But he says, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. He's prophesying what's going to happen a few years from now. But all of these things are happening at Passover. And it's a type of what's going to happen as we get a little further. The next one, we're probably not going to have time with today, but I'll get to it. It's John chapter 6 is where we see the next one. And this one happens in the Galilee. In John chapter 3, he's going to do more proof of this. He's going to honor John the Baptist. John the Baptist is going to honor him. The disciples are going to fight amongst them. Jesus is getting bigger than you. And John said, no, I'm going to honor him. See what's happening here? It's that honor of that purification. Yes. John even said, you should baptize me. I'm not worthy to baptize you. He says, no, this has to happen. And so John is of that priestly line because of his father. And matter of fact, some speculate that the camel hair coat, that prayer shawl tallit that he wore, was actually Elisha's, and that had been kept, and his father pulled that out and gave it to him.
Praise
and he was
God.
Actually wearing Elijah and Elisha's mantle when he baptized Jesus
Isn't
in the water. And now Elijah is part of the Passover Seder every week. So the next one I'll show you is in John chapter 6, where we have another Passover with Jesus. And this time he's not in Jerusalem, but you're seeing a change in ministry begin to happen, and he'll feed the 5,000.
Praise.
It's wonderful to see this.
That in the sixth chapter of John.
Yes, sir.
That is so precious. Mm-hmm. Where he's talking to Philip, and he said, I already know what I'm going to do.
Yes, sir.
But he pointed out the fact they were not listening. Well, you can't take away all that much from them because they had come out there to rest. Yes. And they did just all this mob of people followed them out there, as they always did. And these guys are completely worn out. Mm-hmm. But he's building something in them. You listen. Yeah, you listen now. Where are we going to get it? It's too much. It's bigger than this. There's a little boy, but what's this?
And this is what they're trying to get.
That's what they're trying to
get. Where are we going to get that?
Where are we going to get that? Praise God.
Because it was at Passover.
Yeah.
And a change happens in his ministry right there. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, praise God.
Glory to God for that.
Thank you, Lord. Isn't it good?
It's good.
Praise God. You, come on. Hey, Jeremy.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Papa. Now, the word of the Lord that Brother Copeland shared during today's message is so key to our understanding who we are in Christ Jesus, who He is in us. He said, you have known me, Jesus, as Savior, as healer, as baptizer, and prosperity agent, but soon you are going to know me as the great resurrection and the life. And Brother Copeland shared that we have a glorious future. Now, we'll talk more about that in just a moment.
What does an ancient Jewish feast, Passover, have to do with what Jesus did for you in your relationship with God? Discover the powerful truths of your covenant rights and how to appropriate them in the How to Receive Communion package. Two mini books by Kenneth Copeland, How to Receive Communion and Your Right Standing with God, also available as digital downloads. Learn how Jesus paid for the remission of your sin through His blood, and also your physical, mental, and emotional healing through His broken body. Stop trying to attain righteousness to be good enough for God's blessings. Instead, receive it as God intended, a free gift. As a child of God, when the Father looks at you, He sees Jesus. Begin to live out your new identity of oneness with Christ. Take part in everything Jesus provided, including salvation, peace of mind, healing, and total life prosperity. Request your free How to Receive Communion package, our gift to you from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Your covenant with God provides everything you need. Find out who you are in Christ and the significance of communion. Available as mini books or digital downloads at kcm.org/TV special. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
If you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then today is the day of your salvation. It's so simple. When you pray this prayer, really what you're saying is, Jesus, I'm done being my own God. I'm done being my own Lord. Look at the mess. This is me being God. I'm ready for you to be my Lord. And all you need to do is do what the Bible says. You pray this and you believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth and you will be born again. So just say this out loud after me. Father in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name. I repent of all my past, all my sin. I believe in my heart that Jesus lived for me, died for me, and rose again for me. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord. I am a new creation in you, Lord Jesus. Old things have passed away. My whole life is new. Take my life, do something with it, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I know it's a simple prayer, but if you prayed that and you believed it in your heart, you are born again. In other words, this is the first day of the rest of your life in God. You are now home. Your Father has opened up His home and you now have a relationship with Jesus. And because of that, you have a brilliant and bright future. We want to help you know more about who you are. We want to help you understand more about what's just happened to you and for you. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a free salvation package that we want to give to you. It's a book called He Did It All For You, written by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, just to help you understand more about who you are now in Jesus and who Jesus is living on the inside of you. And along with this book, we're going to send you two little brochures that are going to help you learn how to read, how to study your Bible. It's a big book. Where do you start? Well, we want to help you know where to start and how to stay with it. So request your free salvation package today on kcm.org. And then what you do from now on is just stay in the Word of God. Let God reveal Himself to you through His Word. And every time you open His Word, that's Him speaking to you. So you never have to go a day in this life without hearing the voice of your Creator, the voice of your Father, the one who loves you and the one who gave Himself for you. Stay in the Word, and that's what this ministry is all about. So visit us online at kcm.org and take advantage of the many awesome resources that are there for you to get the Word of God into your life, and that's when things begin to change around you. Thanks so much for watching today. We'll see you again tomorrow. Until then, remember that Jesus is Lord.
God has a good plan for your life. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift for you. Request your free salvation package at kcm.org/salvation. Take the next steps to help you begin your journey understanding who you are in Christ and how to live your new life in victory. As you continue to grow in your faith, believe God for new visions, His manifested power, and great change in your life.
Hi, I'm Gene Bailey, and I'm standing here in Revival Radio Studios because we're talking about revivals. Listen, I'm excited to tell you we're going to have the Faith for Freedom Revival in a tent right here on the grounds of KCM. Listen, you want to get here. It's going to be great. Be a part of what God's doing in these days. It's the Great Awakening.
Faith for Freedom Revival, July 1st through 3rd. Go to kcm.org/revival.